John Adams' massive oratorio, El Niño, reimagines the birth of Jesus using texts from often unexpected sources and a large complement of instrumentalists and singers. CCM's American Voices 15 presents the Cincinnati and regional premiere of El Niño on March the 2nd, conducted by Earl Rivers, Director of Choral Studies and Head of the Division of Ensembles and Conducting at CCM. Welcome back, Earl.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about the sources for El Niño. They are rather unusual.
The poems come from Spanish, Latin, and English sources. A few are from the Gospels of the New Testament. But I think what is most interesting are the Spanish poems. And there are five major poets. Among them would be Rosaria Castellanos. She was born in Mexico City in 1925. And the first poem that's sung by her is sung by the mezzo, who deals with the Annunciation text, which has a reference to the Annunciation we know from the Gospel of St. Luke with Mary. So there are allusions and metaphors throughout the piece of these other texts. Also the Apocrypha, which were the Gospels that did not get into the Bible. I believe there's about 30 of them. And there are two really beautiful stories in this. One of these stories is about the infant Jesus facing down the dragons. It's in the Gospel of Pseudo-Matthew. It also has the tale of the palm tree that when Mary speaks that she's thirsty to Joseph and the infant Jesus commands the palm tree to bend down and give them water. These are almost childlike stories, and I confess I knew very few of these, even though I worked in a Presbyterian church for 40 years and know my Bible pretty well from musical sources.
You've been living with this piece for the past 2 years. What are some of the musical challenges?
Rhythm. John Adams has a way of writing a cell which goes over the bar line and gets, as musicians would say, transmuted. So sometimes you're unsure where the center of gravity is. You can follow the piece linearly, horizontally as it unfolds, but from a conductor's standpoint, when you're organizing it vertically and keeping things together and finding that center to help the audience develop, that's a challenge in Adams's music. It's a beauty of Adams's music. It's one of his strengths that the bar line is lost to the ear.
And what are some of the high points for you musically?
Oh, movement one, two, three. That's a difficult thing to say. 24 movements, and the textures comprise of three countertenors, all of whom were bringing in Stephen Rickards of Indianapolis, Butler University, who did the original El Niño, and Eric Uranus, who's a recent graduate, now a student at Juilliard, and Michael Maniacci, who's been out 10 years, won the Houston Grand Opera Prize a few years ago, and will be starring in Cincinnati Opera's La Callisto this summer. So we're bringing those fellows in. I've got three fabulous CCM student soloists, soprano, tenor, bass. Every time we get to one of their arias or duets or trios, I feel that's a high point. But I have to say, as a choral person, the choruses range from simple movements like a Handel recitative to very complex high tessituras that rival the difficulty of the Beethoven Ninth of the Beethoven Mises Solemnis. They're as challenging technically as anything I've come across in the choral literature.
Tell us a little more about the orchestral forces. You were telling me earlier that there's no brass in this orchestra.
Just trombones and horns, and there are no trumpets, no top brass. It's a classical orchestra, but it's got a rock-funk element. And that specifically, there are two steel-string guitars, which will be amplified, two keyboardists who play not only acoustic piano, but samplers and synthesizers and celeste, a harp, of course, to give it color, a full complement of winds. Now, Adams was a clarinetist and a very good clarinetist. At 16, he soloed with the Boston Symphony Orchestra in the Aaron Copland Clarinet Concerto. So the only other big Adams work I have done a few years ago, I learned that the wind parts are virtuosic. Students love these parts because they're challenged to play at their very highest level. The strings are very standard, a typical string orchestra. In fact, an audience member will look at the orchestra and not notice anything different other than the complement of the, as I mentioned, the guitars. A lot of percussion, and some unusual tuned percussion instruments. Therefore, the element you hear will not only have the classical gait, but some of the movements are more chamber-like with just 5, 6, or 7 instruments, and often one's playing in 5, one's playing in 4, one's playing in 6, but you get these beautiful textures, usually with tuned percussion instruments, high bells or piccolo, decorating in an ostinato-like fashion.
El Niño premiered in 2000, and since then it's had a really extraordinary performance history, and audiences have responded very positively to it. What do you think accounts for that?
Oh, what is the magic? Well, it began, as I understand from Adams, as a commission from the Châtelet in Paris. At the same time, San Francisco Symphony was looking for a work, so they decided to make it an opera oratorio. And then the Barbican Theater got involved in Lincoln Center, so it became a commission with 4 major world-class entities. I think the fact that it got produced in 2000, or very soon after, at 4 international centers, and the fact that Peter Sellers collaborated with Adams, and the fact that he put a film with it, so it had legs as an opera as well as an oratorio, that gave it life and instilled it into the point where today one would say it is part of the canon of choral orchestral music.
John Adams is best known for his American operas that tackle political themes, but even within those works, I find that there's a very strong religious sensibility. How do you see that or hear it?
I have to agree with you. It's interesting to read Adams's writings about confessing how much he would like to have written Handel's Messiah. And he said, in a way, this is my Messiah. He claims to be not a deeply religious person, but he was seeking a way to express religion through not just liturgical works, but through poetry which infuses it with social issues. So there is social commentary here dealing with the riots and prisons in Mexico. It's hard to imagine how that is infused, but that is part of the plan.
Women are responsible for most of the texts, or there are a large number of women who are represented textually here.
Hildegard von Bingen of medieval times, Gabriele Mistral, Rosaria Castellanos. Yes, very much so.
How are the students responding to this work? This is a very, as you said, a very challenging piece.
Well, it's been in layers. We cast the work back in August with soloists, and that was competitive. All the students auditioned. But the chorus began work only after the first of the year, and then, the enthusiasm is tremendous. Students recognize, they know Nixon in China. They know the death of Klinghoffer. You know, Nixon in China has been here with Cincinnati Opera.
Yes.
The audience may not know that May Festival is doing Harmonium this year. I think they're taking it to Carnegie Hall as well. So it's in the repertory. And our students, who are the very top of the heap, they want to work. They want to learn this. So they feel like this is an opportunity.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. My guest has been Earl Rivers, who conducts John Adams' oratorio El Niño on Sunday, March 2nd at 3 p.m. at CCM's Corbett Auditorium. You can learn more about it by going to our website, wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Ann Arenstein.